Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
When I was contacted by my employer, Learfield, and consequently the university, we set out to repair the issue, repair the damage, whatever laid in front of us. And so over the last 7 or 8 days, I think we've done a good job at doing that. We've had numerous conversations with both groups, the university, Gary, and Learfield IMG. And I certainly understand the impact of my comments. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in the suspension, obviously. My broadcasting career has touched four and a half decades. I've never been suspended from anything. I try to put in a good day's work, try to be creative. I understand as a play-by-play broadcaster, and my fellow broadcasters would say the same thing, that you're responsible for what you say. Words do matter regardless of intention. So I've learned much about unconscious bias and insensitivity in the past week, and there will be more to learn going forward. My hope is that what happened Tuesday night in the postgame show will open up additional conversations, not only here on campus, but across the state and across the country. So I will serve out the suspension. I'm delighted that I'm allowed to come back for spring football. And most importantly, for football and basketball in 2019. I think all of you, I think I know most people in this room, and you understand my passion for the Hawkeyes has always run deep since growing up 60 miles from here. And the great friendships I've developed with you folks in this room, with Gary, with my employer, Learfield IMG, I don't expect that to be discontinued in any way or interrupted. I want to push forward, and in the coming few weeks, couple months, as I step away, I'll grow as a broadcaster and certainly grow as a person. Now, let me conclude. There's been no attempt to fire me or to remove me from this position by either the university or Learfield or Fran McCaffrey. I can promise you that has not happened in any shape, form, or matter. Our conversations have been transparent, and with that, I want to move on. A friend told me a long time ago, never look over your shoulder, look straight ahead. If you make a mistake, you own up to it, and you move on. And that's all I can do. And I know we'll get some questions here shortly, and I'll answer those as honestly as I can. But I want to thank Gary and turn it over to him right now.
Thanks, Dolph. And we'll both be happy to answer questions. I also prepared a few thoughts. Just to begin with, I do continue to support Learfield's decision to suspend Dolph. His comment, even though regardless of intent, was inappropriate and insensitive. I'm also 100% supportive that Dolph will remain the voice of the Hawkeyes, the play-by-play for Hawkeye football and men's basketball. Gary mentioned it. I arrived 13 years ago, and I consider my relationship from that day through today and beyond with Dolph a good one, a strong one. I know he's a good person, and I know he would never intentionally hurt someone. And, of course, I know his great passion for the Hawkeyes. Talk a little bit. I'm fully aware of the desire of both you folks and the fans to have wanted more information more quickly. And clearly, you know, Dolph talked about learning from this. You know, I apologize that it's taken us this long. And maybe we can learn in the future some things that we can do to speed this up. But I also want to give you some context. We did spend the entire weekend talking. You know, Learfield, Dolph reports to someone else. He's an employee of an organization with whom we have a partnership. And so throughout the weekend, Gary mentioned it, we had conversations going on between he and Learfield. Learfield was talking to us, to me. Dolph and I spoke a couple of times, and in fact, I don't remember what day it was now, but there was one day where we both, it was either Saturday or Sunday, where we both talked about how hard it was, while we were trying to get through this, figure it out, how hard it was to not talk. Both of us said how hard it was to not talk about some of the assumptions that were being made, some of the thoughts that were out there, the speculation. But at the end of the day, on Monday, we pretty much had this worked out. And I will tell you that it would have been possible for us to have the press conference yesterday. We decided that with the basketball game last night, that we would put it today, put it until today. And so that's what got us, instead of yesterday, that's what got us to today. In addition to those conversations, and while they were going on, I was working hard on my primary responsibility, and that is the well-being of our student-athletes, our coaches, our staff. And I was having direct and indirect discussions with student-athletes, with the coaches, both directly involved and other coaches. I was talking with university leaders, campus leaders. I reached out to several national leaders in college sports. And as I was having those conversations, Dolph mentioned something called unconscious bias. Basically, when we come to the table with whatever our life experience is, and we say something or we do something, not understanding that whatever we say or do might offend somebody else. And I was having these conversations around the country. I wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing by our student athletes, that we were being sensitive to our campus, and we were doing the right thing with our relationship with Learfield and with Dahl. And so we were talking directly to each other, but I was also wanting to make sure that I had those conversations related to the rest of my responsibility. I came out of it, I did feel like we were in the right place. A lot of my colleagues nationally indicated that what was said was absolutely inappropriate and insensitive through the eyes, particularly of a black man. But we also talked about if this is somebody that you trust, if this is somebody that you believe was not intentionally trying to say something to hurt someone, then it absolutely is possible for them to not have it be career-ending, to return. And I had those conversations with friends of mine, both locally and nationally. And so at the end, I felt good that we worked out our situation directly with Dolph and Learfield and the university, but I also feel good that moving forward, we can use this as an educational opportunity, that we can move forward and maybe have more discussion about this topic. It got to the point where I think it became even a political discussion. And I'm telling you, for me, it's not political. It's real. For 30 years, I sit across the table from students or coaches or staff, black men and women who get hurt many times unintentionally, but even sometimes intentionally, and then we have to talk through it. We have to work through it and try to deal with the parties involved. And so at the end of the day, one, I do apologize that it took as long as it did, and I understand there's a clamoring for information, and social media has sped that up during my career. It used to be when something happened, if it took 3 or 4 days, probably wasn't the pressure probably was different. And today with social media, the minute something happens, it becomes, I want an answer now. I want it fixed now. I apologize that we weren't able to move faster. And again, maybe I can learn on how we can crunch down timelines like that. But at the end of the day, as I said when I started, I do support the suspension. I do think Gary Dolphin is a terrific person, and his intent was not ill. And I'm glad that moving forward, he will continue to be the play-by-play voice of the Hawkeyes for football and men's basketball. So with that, we'll try to answer your questions.
Gary Barta, Gary's reputation took a hit through this. Is there anything you guys can do to kind of help restore that? I mean, because a lot of people are just perceiving things based on from a distance. I mean, we all know Gary, and we know, but people on the outside, I've had people reach out to me. I mean, can you guys do anything to kind of help get him back to where he was?
Well, I think any time something happens. The old saying, time heals all wounds. I think, first of all, those who know Gary Dolphin know who he is and what he stands for. Unfortunately, there's 3 million people in the state of Iowa, and probably Dolph has met most of them. And so, and I mean that sincerely, one of the reasons I think there's so much support is because he's been doing this a long time, and people that know him know that he's a good person. So I'm sure that with some individuals, maybe there was reputation damage, but time can heal all wounds. Starting today, we're trying to have an open conversation about what happened, about understanding of his intent and understanding of our plans going forward.
Dolph, knowing the intent that this landed in Learfield's lap, the complaint landed in Learfield's lap, did that enact their protocol, and is the University of Iowa cut out of that?
We're not. I think your question is a good one to talk about, and I'm not going to go into details about every step that everybody was taking, but when the what you just brought up, at the end of the day, Gary Dolphin is an employee of another organization. The partnership between Learfield and Iowa Hawkeyes has been around for a long time, since the 1980s, and the partnership is very good. But it's different because he's an employee, technically, of another organization. So there are steps that you take in that situation that are different than if it's our employee directly.
Dolph, knowing the intent behind the comments, the suspension, the length of the suspension, do you think that was warranted?
We had a lot of discussion about that. I asked to be reinstated short of the suspension for the rest of the season. I just and the reasons are multiple. Unfair? No, a suspension. I've never been suspended, so I can't really honestly answer that, except that I wanted to get back on the air as quickly as possible to talk to the fan base, to talk to the supporters, the boosters, the Hawks across the state, because, you know, I don't do social media. I'm smart enough to tweet and text, and that's about it. But needless to say, I've had a lot of things shipped to me or sent to me. And so I felt if I could get back on the air, say, postseason, then I can not only be back in that chair where I want to be, but I can talk to the fans in multiple ways. So let's move forward. I'm going to, check into sensitivity classes or, unconscious bias and keep them informed that it's going to be okay. Let's look forward and move on. And so it's not a matter of being unhappy. I'm unhappy with any suspension. One game, 10 games, 15, I understand it, though. I understand it. It's the first time I've ever gone through something like this, so that's the best answer I can give you.
What's it meant to have those texts and the social media outreach and people literally wearing Dolphin costumes and supporting you over the last few days? What has that meant?
That's twice that's happened, the costumes this year. I love Iowa. I love the Hawks. I love the fans. I love the support. And I've been everywhere in this country calling Iowa games, and it is so unique because we are such a passionate state for our Hawkeyes, but we're also a passionate radio state. And this goes back to Zabel and Brooksy and Gonder and Frosty and all the characters that have preceded me. And I grew up listening to all of those. I understand better than most what the fabric of radio has done to this state where the Hawkeyes are concerned, because we're an agricultural-based state. And, you know, we hear from so many farmers and folks out in the fields to people washing their cars on Saturday afternoon in the driveway. And so I understand that. I just ask everybody to take the broad angle view of what was said, understanding why it was said, but then let's move on. Let's not be overly critical or throw daggers at the university or at Gary. I don't think it's fair. And I appreciate the support. Let me tell you, I think it's been tremendous. But I think it gets back to my passion, my love for the Hawks and for the university and for what everything's what this university stands for.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I need to step on you there.
Sure.
Gary Borda. I think probably everybody in this room have heard from people who have zero or very little understanding about why the suspension happened. And I know that you've already addressed this, but how do you articulate that to them? And is it frustrating to you?
Let me address the last part. I'm certainly human, and so I'm fully aware of the criticism of the decision. I'm fully aware of the criticism of not talking about it sooner. And what I would say to that is, I've not been here as long as Dolph, but I've been here 13 years. And when I took the job, one, I understood the responsibility, and I also understood the privilege, and I still do. And I understood what Dolph talked about. I've been across the state this 13 years, plus the 7 when I worked at UNI. And I love this state. I love our fans, and I love what it stands for. So is it frustrating? In the context, I understand that there's frustration, yes. Now I'll get back to the first part of your question. How does one explain it? As we've tried to articulate, when somebody says something, irregardless of intent, one of the things, I have had years of unconscious bias training. Training is one thing, but I've also sat in the room as recently as a few weeks ago, and a few months ago, and last year several times, where I sat across the table from some of our student athletes who happened to be black. And I was watching them describe to me pain that they've gone through in our community. In some cases, I'm trying to think of these cases recently, the remarks were unintentional, but they hurt. In some cases, we're not sure if they were intentional or not, but we do know, again, that it hurt. So I guess what I'm saying is I know when a statement like that is made, that even if the intent is not ill, it hurts a group of people. It hurts a certain group. And so that's why immediately when we were made aware of it, we got a copy of the audio tape from Learfield. Learfield brought it to us. We both listened to it, and we said, we have a problem. And then we started to go down the process of Learfield, their HR, working with us, talking with Dolph, and the suspension came in. The rest of the suspension, if you recall, again, Learfield suspended Dolph a little bit earlier in the season because of another issue. And so it was the second issue in a few months. And so that was certainly taken into account in this second suspension. So I don't know if that answers your question, but maybe it digs a little deeper into the why.
Here, Gary.
Can I add something, Mark, to Mike's?
I've probably heard, I have a lot of great African-American friends, current coaches, former players, community leaders. I worked for the Bears for 10 years. I've kept up some great relationships with the folks in Chicago. And to a man, to a person, they called to let me know that they understood what I said, what I was trying to do. They still support me. They like who I am. But several were disappointed in the analogy, the phraseology. And so I caused me to pause and go, I grew up in the 60s in small town Iowa, a great hometown of Cascade to grow up in. We didn't have minorities. We do now. Cascade does now. But I was raised with 6 other siblings by a single-parent mom because Dad died at a young age. But she always taught us to respect everybody. And I think my brothers and sisters and I have done that. But it shows you can learn something every day. And so my conversations with my African-American friends really struck a nerve with me, that even though we may think we know everything there is about race relations and insensitivities, you're learning every day. And I wanted to tack that onto the end of your thoughts. Yeah, Mark?
The length of suspension, Dolph talked about wanting to come back and get on the air right away. Is that an automatic thing? Is the length automatic because of, human resource protocols with Learfield? I mean, what was the discussion like with the length of this suspension?
again, the conversation started pretty shortly after the comment was made, and within 48 hours, the suspension was finalized, the initial suspension, knowing that we would have more ongoing conversations. I don't remember exactly the discussion where it was determined that it would be this long, but it was in those initial conversations with Learfield and with I. At the end of the day, Learfield, you know, Gary is Learfield's employee. They make the final recommendation, but I feel fortunate they always involve us, involve me.
Gary Barta, on Friday, there was a statement released through the athletics department after Learfield announced its statement. It was unsigned, so it wasn't attributed to anybody in particular, but considering you're at the top, everybody kind of looks to you from it. Was there by releasing that statement, did you feel like that was the appropriate comment for that period of time? Is that why you chose not to speak? Or do you think there was more to add that you just couldn't add at that time?
So, again, I'm going to be just open and honest. At the time, we knew we didn't have all the answers to the questions that we're able to answer today, like Gary Dolphin will return as the voice. And so we made the decision. Learfield put out the release, and we made the decision that we supported it and that we weren't going to comment further that day. Well, I mentioned earlier that through all of this, I always want to learn. I care deeply, but I'm not perfect. I've never said that I am. And in hindsight, maybe the only thing, Scott, I might have added to that is we are now going to have private personnel discussions, and until those are done and until we have the answers to all the questions we might get asked, we're not going to comment further. So, you know, if we could have maybe explained a little bit more about why we weren't commenting in hindsight, at least personally, I wish we would have done that. I don't know that we could have spoken at great length like we are able to today because we still had so many things we needed to talk about.
Dolph, how would you characterize your relationship with Fran McCaffrey?
My relationship with Fran McCaffrey? With Fran McCaffrey, it's good. You know, I suppose I called Fran last Thursday night after I found out about the suspension and asked him if he could visit for 5 minutes. And he said, yeah, sure. And I told him, you know, I'm sorry I've become a distraction to the basketball team. It was totally unintentional. Fran grew up in Philadelphia, so I knew he'd have a good perspective. And we had a great conversation. I don't want to share what he said, but it was positive. It wasn't negative. It was positive. And he said, you know, whatever happens, happens. Of course, at that point, we weren't sure. We were pretty sure what the suspension was going, or the length of the suspension, and you know the fallout from that. And he said, "Hey, good luck. I appreciate what you do. I understand what you do, and we'll move forward." And so, yeah, no, I do not have any issues with Fran. You know, I've worked with. I added it up the other day. I've got a lot of time to do stuff like that, Mark. But I've worked with 14 or 15 Division I coaches in my career. Division I coaches. I worked with hundreds of coaches, but at this level, 14 or 15, Northwestern here, and elsewhere, and they're all different. Not all adapt to or agree with my interview style or with maybe how I press them on one subject or another. And, you know, Fran's got an Irish temper like I do. And so our collisions or our disagreements have all been professional in manner. Has everything to do with style. And we adjust. And, you know, I've been with him for 9 years. So I've been around Fran a lot. And I think he's an outstanding coach. He's a great X's and O's guy, and he's funny, but he can get upset, and that doesn't bother me at all. I'm very accepting of that, and we've had our differences and our issues, but in the end, at the end of the day, we talk, we hug, we shake hands, and we move on.
Dolph, have you reached out to Fernando at all?
I have not. I want to, either phone call, letter. I plan to do that. But I didn't want to do anything until, obviously, conferring with Gary or with the university, but Gary in particular, and my boss at Learfield, to make sure that the steps are taken. But that will happen. I'll make that attempt. It probably won't happen until the season's over because Maryland has a terrific team. Coach Turgeon is, I know Mark not well, but he's been gracious to me, interviews, and Bruno's a heck of a player. But I will make the attempt, just not now.
How have your conversations with Maryland gone?
I had an initial conversation just to make them aware, and they were cordial. They appreciated the fact that we had reached out and had given them a heads up, and I haven't spoken with them since.
Gary Barta, my first year on this beat, 92, I remember Hayden Fryne, I think Mike wrote about this, referred to Dana Hughes as King Kong, and it was in a complimentary manner, and there was nothing to it. Nobody gave any thoughts. I know you weren't here. What has changed so much since then to where then it was acceptable and now it causes this?
Well, I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a cultural expert, but I did grow up, and I mean this sincerely, and I have not read all of your columns and all of your writings, but I was sent, I think it was Mike's, and Dolph and I had talked about it, and I'm getting to my point, and that is, in the last 5 years, 10 years, if I flipped on an old sitcom and I watch it, I don't know about you, but I get real uncomfortable with some of those shows. And it's because I'm much more sensitive to what does and doesn't offend somebody. Back then when I watched them, I don't remember it feeling offensive. And so, again, I can't speak for the world or culture. I'm trying to just work in college athletics. But I think that's what's changed. I think we have a better awareness. I know I have a better awareness today that when I'm across the table from someone who doesn't look like me, maybe they don't talk like me, whatever the differences are, that unconscious bias, and I know we've said it a few times, I've learned a lot that I grew up in a certain place with a certain family, with a certain style, and through my eyes, I view life. And so they call that's my unconscious bias. You grew up differently. You have a different bias than I do. And I've learned a lot that what I say could offend somebody, and I need to be more aware of that. So I think that's what's changed. We're more aware today of what may or may not offend someone else.
One or two more questions.
Well, Garrett Dolph, will this impact your style? Will you be more conscious of, obviously, maybe you've learned to be more conscious of the things you say, but will this change the way you approach your call on a night-to-night basis?
I've thought about that a lot. You know, if you're in play-by-play, if you got to stop and think about everything you're going to say and the reaction that it might cause or the effect that it might create, then you might as well create a robot and put him in that chair. So the answer to the question is no. Obviously, I will be more aware between now and next season or the spring football game of what's acceptable and what isn't. And I told Gary, I said, look, I've had this list that I've called for 25 years, Spider-Man, Godzilla, Hulk, the aforementioned King Kong, and I know I've used it many, many times with Caucasian athletes and African Americans. You know, I can't tell you when and where, but I know I've used them. And I just rotate through them mentally on a great performance by like a Bruno Fernando the other night. And so it hopefully won't change my style. You know, I learned early on in journalism school that if you're in a play-by-play position in radio, you're there to create a picture, to form a visual that the listener can identify with, and obviously I stepped over the line, unintended, but I stepped over the line. I'll own it. I've apologized for it. I don't plan to change my style, but I will tweak it. There's no question about that.
A question I have is, last night your men's basketball coach made a remark in a tunnel at Ohio State was suspended today, two games by the university and affirmed by the Big Ten Conference as a second suspension. Is there a concern about anger issues in Fran McCaffrey, considering he's done this before and he's also been somewhat reprimanded for other incidents?
Well, I'm happy to answer it now, and as you know, we're gonna talk specifically about the suspension right after this. But to answer your question right now, Fran, in my opinion, is I hired him 9 years ago. I hired him because I think he's a tremendous coach. If I think about all the attributes I look for in a basketball coach, he has them. He and I, over the years, have talked about issues that have come up related to what occurred last night. I'm not going to go into detail. I will talk more about it in just a minute, that I still 100% support Fran as our coach and look forward to him being here a long, long time.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We're going to take just a slight break. We're going to bring in Coach McCaffrey, and Gary and Fran will both address that issues from last night.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to a live news conference between the media, Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta, and Iowa voice of the Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin. Dolphin reinstated for next football and basketball season. Both men made comments and answered questions. We're going to have a lot more on this on the gym class, a shortened version, but we'll be back after this break.
I'm Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
If we build it,
you don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
My customers tell me this is their favorite time of year, right now, during the winter sale. Hi, this is Sean Holly with Holly's Shop for Men, and why wouldn't it be their favorite time of year? With super selections of the latest in men's fashions like dress shirts, sport coats, ties, and accessories, with sale prices from 50 to 70% off. What well-dressed guy wouldn't be happy? Don't wait. Come in now for the best selection. The winter sale at Holly's Shop for Men, Lindell Mall.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work. But when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Welcome to Gym Class. A different version of it. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you. You've been listening to the news conference with Gary Barta, Iowa Athletic Director, and Iowa play-by-play voice, Gary Dolphin. By popular demand, we're going to go back when they're ready. There's a news conference going on right now with Barta and Fran McCaffrey. Is that on?
Fran has now joined Gary at the podium. We're going to go to Iowa City right now.
Sounds good.
I talked with our boss, President Bruce Harreld, and came up with the two-game suspension. The $10,000 fine is, I don't know if they'd call it standard, but it's a typical fine amount for an infraction of their sportsmanship code of conduct. Again, what I appreciate most is Fran understands the severity of what happened. He has full acceptance of the suspension, sincere regret. And I've said it many times. I've said it when we're winning. I've said it when we're losing. I've said it when we've had any kind of issues. And I'll say it again. Fran has 100% my full support as our head coach.
I just want to begin by saying, you know, I'm a very passionate person. I think everybody in this room knows and understands that. I love my family. I love my players. And we live in a very competitive environment. Last night was one of those nights, and my emotions got the better of me. And I apologize for that. I regret that. I'm sorry to Mr. Barta, President Harold, and I accept full responsibility. And I think that's what's necessary. You know, not to necessarily make excuses, but maybe to try to explain, you know, what it's like to sit in my chair and what it's like to be in that locker room. And a lot of things happen throughout the course of a year, throughout the course of 4 years. And the one thing that I can assure you is my players know and understand how passionate I am about them and their future. And I want nothing but the best for them. And so it's fighting for them, and I will continue to do that. That will never change.
Question for both of you. How many of these does a coach get? How many suspensions should a coach get?
Well, this is the first time that I've suspended Fran. You might be referencing suspension by the Big Ten Conference now about 5 years ago. I'll come at it a slightly different way. Fran and I sit down weekly. Basically, we talk to each other almost daily, but weekly we sit down. And then at the end of the year, like a coach does with their players, like he does with his team, we talk about what's great, what's, you know, where can we get better. What I would tell you that everything Fran does, I'm 100% behind. It's no secret over the years that passion. By the way, one of the reasons I was excited to hire him is exactly because of that passion. And we've talked about, I don't ever want you to lose that. I don't ever want you to change that. And just there are certain things, and I won't go into detail, where, you know, I want you to get better, and he wants to get better. So I don't have a number. What I would tell you is I love Fran's coaching. I love his style. I love what he does. If and when he has an issue that I'm uncomfortable with, we talk about it. This one happened to be very public, and we've dealt with it. He's accepted it, and we're moving forward.
Fran, the fact that Connor was indirectly involved and got the technical, does that make this more complicated being a father and a coach in this situation?
No, Pat, it doesn't. How I felt in that situation was protecting one of my players.
Gary, you referenced that you and Fran speak about what happens each week. Had the tweet that I'm sure you've probably seen not come out, is this a situation that you two may have spoken about?
You know, basically you're asking me to describe a hypothetical. The tweet, are you talking about a tweet last night?
Yes, the tweet from the Toledo Blade reporter.
So I'm not a Twitter person.
Okay.
The way I found out about it was someone from the Big Ten last night reached out to me and made me aware of the situation. So as soon as I learned that, I waited until Fran's press conference was over. And as I said earlier, I picked up the phone and I called him. And so that's how we started down this process.
I think one of the important things to note as well, the game didn't go like we wanted it to, and it ended up with a tee, my first tee of the year. So my intention was not for this to be the case. I said what I said back in the tunnel. directly. No, I didn't want it to be public. I didn't say it out on the floor in front of thousands of people. I said it directly to him. Somebody ended up hearing it. You know, okay. That's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the situation. But my intention was for this to be sort of a private conversation, and unfortunately it didn't become that.
If I could follow up on that for a second then.
Yeah.
If that situation happens in private, is that still something you and Gary would have spoken about, do you think?
Probably. But I don't know that I can unequivocally answer that, but I would say probably, yeah.
Do you regret saying it at all, Frank?
Of course, absolutely. Yeah.
Coach, there's a line with every ref when you're fighting for your guys, and I think everybody wants you to do that.
Yeah.
It's crossing the line, and you know that there's probably coda for all kinds of basketball coaches and referees. Do you have a good idea where that line? I know you do. You said that where you thought about it in private. Is that a constant struggle for you, finding that line with officials? And I'm sure it is for all coaches.
Yeah, it probably is. I think our league does a terrific job with trying to do the best they can, educating officials and helping them grow. And they watch film, and there's communication between my office, the Big Ten office. I think there's communication during the game with the officials. Yeah, I think sometimes some things happen in a game and you look and say, that's a little peculiar to me right now. I'm not comfortable with that, and I speak on it. It doesn't happen very often, but it happened last night.
Brad, is there any concern that something like this could linger with relationships with officials? They talk like everybody else talks, and this could linger in?
I think we're dealing with professionals. I don't think so. I really don't, Scott. I think if you look at every coach, there's been issues with officials at some point during the season. So this is not an isolated incident with one coach. We all express our opinions. Sometimes it's on the spot. Sometimes it's before. Sometimes it's later. It's just the way it is.
Are there fears about how this will impact your team, this being a distraction?
We have a incredibly mature team, a veteran team. This is a brutal league. We've had some great wins. We've had some tough losses. Obviously, we've won more than we've lost. I trust my guys to stay together. I think Nicholas Bear is a guy that, in particular, obviously you look at Cook and Bohannon, but I think Nicholas Bear being a fifth-year senior, those three guys together, I'll be able to handle this.
You also have two assistants that have been head coaches. Does that kind of make things?
I actually have four, but
four.
There's not much that those guys haven't seen. I think you make a good point, Pat. And that's why they're all my staff, and they'll handle this situation. And I can be around. It's not like I'm banned for the night. It's not coaching any games. It could be a practice and film sessions and stuff like that. So I'll be involved.
Sorry. What does it mean to you to kind of miss out on senior day on Saturday?
I'll be there for senior day. Yeah, I'll be there to present Nicholas with his jersey and hug his family, hug him. I love him. Been a big part of my career. Been coached too many like him. Really, truly one of the most special people and one of the most special families I've been associated with. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that was something, if I could just add to that, as we were talking through that, that was something that I was very comfortable working through, is just having Fran out there on senior day and then stepping away for the game.
Who will coach the team in the game?
Andrew has the Rutgers scout, so he'll technically be the head coach for that game and have obviously two very experienced people sitting next to him along with the other members of my staff. And then Kirk has the Wisconsin scout, so he'll be the lead guy on that one. Had Sherm had the scout, it would have been him.
Brandy.
You had a question, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. As a coach, it's no secret, you expect discipline from your players. Demand it. how do you explain this to them? I mean, when it's an undisciplined moment, or at least most people would look at it that way, and that has put you in this spot.
It's human nature when you're in a competitive environment. You know, my players aren't always exactly disciplined like we want them. Nobody in this room is. So I regret my actions, but I will never regret fighting for them, and they know that.
Fred, you used the word cheater. Is that the way you felt, or was that a poor word choice?
Maybe a little bit of both, Chad. Shouldn't have said it, but I wasn't feeling really good at that moment about what took place at all. So, you know, I think the official in question has been a guy of integrity in the past. So for that reason, I shouldn't have said it. I think you got to give the guy, you know, I've had him a number of times. For whatever reason, in this game, what didn't work. But in the past, he's been good.
Brandon, if you say you think it was maybe a little bit of both, why do you think the official may have been cheating?
I don't know that. I can't even speculate to that.
This is for both of you. I mean, you talked about one of the great turnarounds in college basketball this season, yet here we are talking about this incident, and then, of course, the one half hour ago. I mean, is there a fear, Gary or Fran, that this is overshadowing what has been a very successful season thus far for Iowa basketball?
I would say this. I think, and I wasn't here for Dolph's press conference. I know him well enough. I think that's the last thing in the world he wanted, and he's voiced that to me as the last thing in the world I want. But sometimes throughout the course of the season, things happen, and you deal with them. It's pretty simple.
I'll interject. Clearly nobody wants an interruption. But at the same time, I'm glad you brought it up, Scott, because the season that Fran and his team are having is terrific. The season that Lisa and her team is having is wonderful. Wrestling, you know, there are so many good things happening that the goal today is to work through this and then get the focus back on the student athletes and the success that they're having.
Fran, have you taken steps to control your anger, or do you think you need to?
I think I'm a pretty composed guy. I mean, if you're around me a lot, if you're at practice, you're at games, occasionally I'll get upset. But it's one rare occasion where that happens.
Follow up, Gary, on that. I mean, we just talked for a half hour about unconscious bias training. Do you feel like there's any need to have any anger management, anything like that you would recommend?
I'm going to answer it by saying, I said earlier, you know, Bruce Harrell's going to constantly tell me what I need to look at and get better at every year. I'm going to keep doing the same in conversations with Fran. And we're not going to talk about those publicly, but at the end of the day, I know Fran does a great job. I trust the work he's doing. And anything we talk about where we want to improve will just remain between he and I.
Gary, it's been a heck of a week for Iowa athletics. Are you afraid of what the portrayal or the image of Iowa athletics is right now?
Maybe the right now. If you snapshot a moment in time, there's ups and downs. I've only been here 13 years, but during 13 years, we've had ups and we've had downs. The reputation and the foundation upon which Iowa athletics is built is strong. And so this week has been challenging. It's been challenging for the athletic director. It's been challenging going through this with Fran, Gary Dolphin. That's been a challenge. But the long answer to your question, I'm confident that the foundation is strong and that we'll get back on track. We have a great reputation, and we'll focus on that going forward.
Gary, who pays the fine?
The fine is by league process. The fine comes directly to the campus. It doesn't go to the individual. Fran and I have talked, and he's going to take responsibility for that ultimately.
One or two more? Anything else?
Fred, your players are, they will defend you. I don't think that's a secret. Do you think the public, or maybe what the fans or we see during a game is maybe a different Fran than the one that the players see at times?
Do you mind if I take that for a second? I'm really glad you bring that up because it may not have come up otherwise. The Fran McCaffrey that some people see in a game, intense and passionate, and that's real. But what I see for 9 years and watch with his players behind the scenes, when a player has an issue at home with a family member or a girlfriend issue or something that they're struggling with, nobody pays more attention to them like a father than Fran. And so I think when he's talking to them and is energized in yelling during the game, they know he loves them. And I think that's something that, to your point, maybe the average fan doesn't get an opportunity to see. So that's my perspective anyway.
Anytime you might see me raise my voice on the bench or during a game, it's never personal. All right, and it's typically collective. Like, we're not doing this. It's never you are not. You know, it's never directed at one individual. And most of the time, I talk. This is about as loud as I talk in practice. And if you're around me a lot, you know that. But the relationship with your players has to be real. And you ask anybody that's ever played for me, they know and understand what that means. And that relationship goes on forever. We played at Rutgers. I had a bunch of my guys from UNCG were at the game. I had Siena people at the game. I had Lehigh people at the game. It's the way it is.
Fran, you were
thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Appreciate being here.
Oh, thanks.
You've been listening live to a news conference with Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta and Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey. Two news conferences, one with those two and one with Barta and Gary Dolphin, have consumed pretty much the gym classes hour, but we were very pleased the cooperative work of everybody here at the station to try to get these news conferences on the air live to you so you could consume them. Three more hours of local programming coming up with the Todd Bromkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I'm going to stay around for a while. Kyle Mann is going to stay around for a while. And we're going to dissect this, take your comments and questions on the Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line. If you missed it, to recap, Gary Dolphin reinstated as the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, starting with next spring's football game and continuing into the football season and the men's basketball season. And just coming out this afternoon, Fran McCaffrey suspended two games for his behavior after the game at Ohio State last night, and the Big Ten also dishing out a $10,000 fine for an infraction of the Big Ten Code of Conduct and Sportsmanship. So there you have it. When it rains, it pours. We've talked for 5 days now as to, you know, what's going to happen with Dolph. And then we see in a big loss for Iowa last night, 20-point loss, Fran really going off, excuse me, after the game against a Big Ten official. And it was reported by Kyle Rowland at the Toledo Blade that McCaffrey was following one of the officials down an arena hallway in Columbus after the game and repeatedly shouted expletives and calling him a, quote, cheating expletive, unquote, and a, quote, expletive disgrace.
It's tough to read that one on the radio.
I'm not going to get in trouble there, but I think if you've paid any attention, you've seen the quotes accurately. You've heard Fran McCaffrey apologize. Did he apologize? I think he did. but didn't apologize for being passionate about his team and protecting his team. You guys can come to that conclusion yourself. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA.
It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Welcome back to the gym class and the news conferences that you heard during our hour today. Happy to yield our time to those news conferences. They're very important to listeners, as we've already heard. Because of the reshuffling today, Mark Ironside usually makes his appearance on Wednesdays. He will be with us tomorrow, along with Kevin Lehman. Ironside talking about wrestling, Lehman about college basketball. Of course, it's Bowling Night in America. Scott Unas will report on that tomorrow. He's back from his duties in Des Moines. But I'm going to stay around for, excuse me, the next segment or so with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann and discuss what we heard today during the two news conferences. We really would encourage you to weigh in. 319-366-1600. Be back in a minute.
Golic, did you know that Gatorade Zero has all the same electrolytes, but with zero sugar?